Let me invite you now to grab a Bible and find the Gospel of John. Shouldn't be too hard to find that one. Fourth book in the New Testament. And while you're hunting around for it, let me mention this to you. I think you know that twice a year, in January and July, I teach this thing called An Introduction to Reform Systematics. If you're interested in taking somewhat of a deep dive into some theological issues that have maybe plagued you for a lifetime, come on, jump in. Doesn't cost you anything. It costs you 8 hours, four on one Saturday, four on the next, and you've got to commit to both. But if you can and are interested, as of Friday, there was one spot left. We can take one or a couple. So jump in. Let's wade out in some deep theological waters and see what's there. Hope you'll join us. Guys, my text this morning is brief. It comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of John. It's one that's very familiar. May I point out before I read it, it says the next day he saw Jesus coming, that he is John the Baptist. This is very early on in the life of Christ. He is, in essence, being introduced to John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist sees him, John the Baptist says this, which I'm sure will ring a bell. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God, this word, this endures forever." Guys, the name of Thomas Boston is probably not one that's too familiar to many of you. Maybe the name Ralph Boston is. Ralph Boston was a long jumper in the 60s and who won a gold medal and just died this past week, in fact. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Thomas Boston, who lived in the 18th century and was a Scotsman. In fact, one of his books, he wrote several, but one of his books I use in every systematics class I teach. This one, Human Nature in its Fourfold State. I don't read much to you in that class out of it, but I draw your attention to the title, Human Nature in its Fourfold State, and then we launch from there. But there was one church historian who said about that book, he said, it's a book that has contributed more than any other work to mold the religious sentiments of the Scottish people. So we may not know Thomas Boston over here, but Scotland sure knows of Thomas Boston, and he laid the foundation for a lot of good things there. Thomas Boston spent most of his ministry in one place in the city of Ettrick, Scotland. He arrived there in 1707, and then he died. What ended his ministry was that he died in 1732. On the Sunday before he died, he preached his last sermon. They had his bed moved to the window of his house, and he preached from his bed, and the congregation gathered outside his window. So he turned his deathbed into a pulpit. When he first arrived in Ettrick, Scotland, the church that he pastored was in such a debauched state that he refused to conduct a, pardon me, a service of communion, the Lord's Supper. He refused to do so because he didn't think the people were ready for that. So about 3 years later, he offered for the first time the Lord's Supper at the church there in Ettrick, and he started with a handful of people. I think it was nine. I think that's what I read. Nine people that took the Lord's Supper. 5 years later, there were 150. And then from there, people would stream in from all over the region so that they could enjoy the Lord's Supper under the ministry of Thomas Boston. Folks, Boston's father was imprisoned for his faith. His young son would come in and sit with his dad in prison. How about that? But it wasn't his father who led him to Christ. It was at the age of 12, under the preaching of Henry Erskine. Pardon me. Thomas Boston became a Christian. And the text that was used that day was John chapter 1, verse 29. Thomas Boston said, when he heard that text, he said, and I'm quoting, "My soul went out to him," that is to Jesus, "and the place of his feet was glorious in mine eyes." The place of his feet was glorious in mine eyes. Think of that text, ladies and gentlemen. Behold. You know, that's an old King James word. It's just a summons. It's a call to come take a look at. Behold, the Lamb of God, the innocent sufferer, the unblemished lamb, the Passover lamb, the Paschal lamb, whatever. Behold, come take a look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. You do understand, don't you, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus didn't show up on planet Earth so that he could teach us a new moral standard. He did do that, but that's not why he came. The thing that necessitated his coming and prompted his coming was sin. Your sin. My sin. Come take a look at this Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The plan of God was always to save Jew and Gentile. So come take a look. Come take a look. And Thomas Boston said, when he was invited to take a look, his feet were glorious in mine eyes. One of the interesting things that I read about Thomas Boston is that in his ministry, he thought it was advisable to preach a good sermon frequently. Now, I would love to get away with that, but unfortunately, I don't have any good ones that I can preach frequently. But one of my heroes is a man that agreed with Thomas Boston. His name was Robert G. Lee. Robert G. Lee was the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church from, I think it was 1927 to 1960. And he preached one sermon that he had, which is famous. And if you've never heard it, you ought to go online and listen to it. I've referenced it before. It's quite a sermon. Payday Someday. It is said that R.G. Lee preached that one sermon over 1,200 times. Now imagine that, folks. If you preached that sermon once a week, it would take you 25 years before you preached it over 1,200 times. That's the kind of gig I want, you know, where I can preach one sermon for 25 years. Imagine that. Well, Thomas Boston said if it was a good sermon, it needs to be preached frequently. And the one that he preached frequently was one that he himself wrote on the text John 1:29. Guys, I don't repeat sermons here. If I do, I tell you I'm repeating them. I think I've done that once, maybe twice. But there is something that we do here at Grace to Van, and we do it frequently. We do it over and over and over again. We do it 12 times a year. This. We call you to the table of the Lord 12 times a year. And I preach shorter sermons on those Sundays. And my hope is that there is some degree of variety in them. But they all basically say the same thing. They all say, behold, the Lamb of God in his broken body and shed blood. who takes away. That is the heart of our message, ladies and gentlemen. That Jesus Christ takes away sin. He didn't come to be your friend. He can be that. But he came to take away your sin. And though Thomas Boston's book is very complicated and very difficult to understand, his sermon wasn't. His sermon was very simple. It was about a Savior who took away sin so that we could stand before God and hear forgiven. And that, my friend, is what is on display in this sacrament. The Lamb of God, come, take a look at the Lamb of God whose broken body and shed blood means forgiveness of sin for us. And once you see it, maybe you, like Thomas Boston, would find that his feet were beautiful in your eyes. Let's pray together. Our Father, would you indeed visit us at this sacrament this morning and remind people of what you have accomplished in Christ for the undeserving, like us? Would you use these visible elements to explain things that perhaps I have not explained well? Use this visible presentation of the work of Jesus Christ for sinners. Use it, O God, to remind people that what is at the heartbeat of Christianity is not a morality, it's not an ethic, it's not a philosophy. It's an announcement. It's a proclamation that you are willing to forgive those who embrace this Savior that you sent. So, Father, if you have brought people here today who have not yet embraced that Savior, might they see him in all of his beauty on display very clearly in this sacrament of a broken body and shed blood. We commit it to you and do so, of course, in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I think... I